Welcome back to Octopulse, our Detroit News, Detroit Red Wings podcast. I'm Mark Faulkner, Detroit News Assistant Sports Editor, along with Ted Colfin, our Red Wings beat reporter. Coming up on the podcast, we'll talk with Sweden's Leo Carlsson, the number one rated European player for the 2023 NHL draft in Nashville. But first, Ted, you're in Washington. After the Red Wings practice on Monday, the Wings and Capitals meet Tuesday night at Capital One Arena, 7 p.m. start. The Wings only 3 points out of the playoffs now. They won those five straight games against Vancouver, Edmonton, and Calgary, and then lost on Saturday in Seattle. The Capitals have lost four in a row. They're just barely out of the playoffs as well. 1 point behind the wildcard teams, the Penguins and Islanders, 1 point ahead of the Red Wings. So, Ted, what did you make of that five-game winning streak? And what's the latest on tomorrow night's lineup against the Capitals?
I don't know about you, Mark, but I was impressed. I mean, I don't think anybody at all figured this team was going to go, on a 5-1 run or something like those right after the break. I mean, good for them. They've definitely played some good hockey. They caught teams such as Vancouver and Calgary who were in a tailspin and took advantage of it. Good for them. They put together a win streak to get into the playoff race, and that's exactly what they did. And then in terms of the lineup, yeah, like I'm sure you're going to hint here, Jacob Verana, it looks like it's a good chance he's going to win, but there is the question of who do you take out? I mean, everybody's basically playing pretty good hockey. So what do you do? As Derek Lalonde kind of mentioned today, it's a nice luxury to have. So I think there is a decent chance that Verana plays tomorrow against his former team, but there is that point of who exactly does he take out for a game or two?
Well, let's hear from Jacob Verana. He's been traveling with the team since being recalled when Lucas Raymond was hurt. Verana went down to Grand Rapids, and after a slow start, he had 11 points in 17 games. Here's what he had to say about playing in the minors with Alex Nedeljkovic, Simon Edvinson, and Andreas Johansson.
That's been great since he got there. He helped the team a lot. It's been giving us a chance to win games for sure. On the other hand, the younger guys, Simon's been playing really good. You can tell he's got a great vision, and he's really mature. I would say in that case, I mean, of course, he just got to North America and play on different ice, but obviously, I was impressed with his game. Of course, also Albert Johansson has been playing really good as well. That's some of the guys had a really good vision, and you can tell that they have a great potential. Otherwise, overall, guy's been great down there. We were right there, right at the playoff spot and fighting for that. So obviously I had a great time.
So there's Jacob Verana, and a quick related item there. Ted, you will have a feature on Simon Edvinson coming up this week at DetroitNews.com. But how does Verana fit into things here, whether or not he faces his former team Tuesday night? What are your thoughts about Verana, and who would you take out of the lineup?
Oh, I'm glad they're not paying me to make that decision, my friend. That's a tough one. They all are playing well. I mean, I would imagine you can give Oscar Sundqvist an occasional night off because of just the fact he is playing with a lot of injuries and whatnot. So that'd be kind of a easy one to do there. But another problem here is, so to speak, I mean, when Lucas Raymond's day to day, he's missed 5 or 6 games in a row now. When he does return here in the next, within the next few games, probably.
Okay.
That just makes it tougher. I mean, then you almost essentially have to take two guys out. So, yeah, it's going to be difficult. If we don't see Verana tomorrow night, I don't know, it becomes a little bit more of a difficult issue as to when we could possibly see him.
Ted, one quick note that just came out earlier today. Dylan Larkin was named the NHL's third star this week, 8 points in 4 games. He leads the team in goals with 22, assists 34, points 56, power play goals 11, power play points 21. What's the latest, though, on his contract status?
Well, I'd still be a little surprised if anything comes together before the break. I just don't see that happening. Mm-hmm. But again, we've talked about this often, Mark. I'd be pretty much shocked if they don't get it done before July 1st. I mean, that just seems to be Steve Yzerman's way of doing things with players of this type of ilk. He did re-sign, obviously, Olimata the other day. Mm-hmm. 2 years, what, $3 million cap hit. That's a different type of player, though, a different level of player. But Dylan Larkin, I think we've talked about it often, Mark. He's born and bred here. He's admitted that he kind of has a difficult time seeing himself in anything other than a Red Wings jersey. It'll happen. They will sign Dylan Larkin, but I'd just be a little surprised if it happens here before next week trades deadline. I think it's going to be something that drags on a little bit more into the summer.
You just mentioned Olimata. We'll hear from him in the second part of the podcast, but right now it's our interview segment, and today's guest is the number one rated European player for the 2023 draft, Leo Carlson. Joining us now is 18-year-old Leo Carlson, the top-rated European skater in the NHL Central Scouting's midterm rankings, a consensus top five pick after Connor Bedard and Adam Fantilli in the 2023 NHL draft in Nashville, and one of the youngest players on the up-and-coming Örebro team in the Swedish Hockey League. Leo, welcome to the podcast. Here in Detroit, there's a Red Wings connection to your team there in Sweden. Mattias Bromé played for the Red Wings during the 2020 COVID season. I talked to him last night. He scored one goal in 26 games, a goal against Florida goalie Sergei Bobrovsky. He had lots of scoring chances, though, Leo. In his first game, he came out of the corner and he hit the crossbar in a 3-0 loss against Carolina. He often played with Dylan Larkin and Tyler Bertuzzi, and he wound up on the taxi squad during the pandemic. He's 28 now. Yeah. He's back in Sweden with your fourth place Örebro team. So what was it like playing on a line with him earlier this year, Leo? And how have the older players helped the younger guys with 11 games left in the regular season?
Yeah, they take care of us good. I mean, they don't see us as as juniors off the ice. On the ice, they give us some good tips as well. I mean, playing in line with him, you know, it's a good passer and a good skater. So I mean, just to get your blade available to you, so you can have the puck.
Good passer, good skater. He said he had no regrets in Detroit, Leo. He was signed as a free agent for $925,000. He said the Wings gave him chances, especially in the first 10 games, but he said, quote, the puck just didn't want to go in. So what's it like trying to score goals? You have 5 power play goals this year. He has 10 in a really good defensive league, right, in the SHL. So are you getting scoring chances on your new line, and are the games really that tight defensively there?
Yeah, I mean, if you have a bad game, you're getting maybe two good chances.
Okay.
If you have a good game, you can get 7 as well. Yeah. It's a very defensive league, and it's not as easy to rack up points and shots as it's over in the States, I think.
How about your best game this year, Leo? The coach, Nicholas Eriksson, said you played as much as 15 minutes a game early in the season, maybe not as much lately. You've played 34 games. Have you had a game where you've had 7 shots, or what has been like your most productive offensive game as far as shots on goal and opportunities?
I don't think I have like a super high shot game. Mm-hmm. Just pass the puck sometimes as well, but I mean, I think I had a 3 assist game against Skellefteå earlier this season. And I have one goal and one assist game, and then a very good game, like overall creating chances as against Hove.
Now, how did you wind up with Örebro, Leo? You were born in Karlstad. Mm-hmm. Taught by your dad, Kenneth, who played Division I and Division II hockey in Sweden. And you played for Farstad, a rival of Örebro, right up until 2020. So why did you make the move to Örebro?
Yeah, my dad has a huge uh, huge input in my life, and yeah, both both hockey wise and normal life, or what you say. So yeah, I mean, just a lot of training when I was young. I mean, start early on the ice, mm-hmm. and then just I mean, fell in love with it in early age.
And why Örebro?
Yeah, it's a pretty long story, but I didn't think Färjestad would want me because they usually take in players in the summer.
Okay.
But then they didn't take any players at summer. You know, in the hockey gym we call it here.
Now your coach said you've handled all these distractions, Leo. The media, he said, the scouts, the agents, and one of his assistant coaches. You were telling me Stefan Nyman, he's compared you to Anze Kopitar, who is 6'3", 225. He's a two-time Stanley Cup champion with the LA Kings, 1,100 points in 17 seasons. How would you describe your game? You're 6'3", about 195, 200 pounds. Are you a center or a wing? And is Kopitar's two-way game something you would like to achieve as well?
I am a center. Can play at the wing as well. My game is pretty much high hockey IQ. I think how I see the ice, not the fastest skater, but acceleration. But then I get through top speed, I'm pretty fast.
Leo, thanks for your time so far. Just a couple more questions. Brome said these final 11 games are really important to the team because Örebro has never finished higher than 6, and you're already in 4th. Among the 14 teams. And he said he's working for another NHL contract as well. So you've got the playoffs coming up, and he said you'll have a great summer with the combine, the draft. So how are you approaching this stretch drive? And have you thought about the time you'll be spending with Bedard and Fantilli at all the press conferences at the draft in Nashville?
Yeah, first of all, I think, these games are really important, as Brommer said. 11th game left, and the league is tight. So it's important to be good and to be on your feet every game.
And finally, Leo, what if the Red Wings draft you? Now it's unlikely they'll wind up with a top 5 pick, but as you know, Detroit has a long history of taking Swedish players all the way back to Nicklas Lidström, Henrik Zetterberg, and now young Swedes like Raymond Edvinson and William Wallander. Brome was the first Örebro player to play in Detroit. What if you were the second player, Leo?
Would be nice, of course. A lot of Swedish players that I can, Detroit is good as it's good at developing young players as well. So will be perfect.
It would be perfect, Leo. Thanks again for your time today on the podcast, talking to us about your hockey background in Sweden, the rise of the Örebro hockey program, and your status as one of the top draft picks in the upcoming NHL draft. Good luck down the stretch run and into the offseason.
Thank you so much.
Our thanks again to Leo Carlson for joining us here on the podcast. And as we mentioned earlier, let's hear from Wings defenseman Olli Maatta. As Ted said, he signed that a 2-year contract for $6 million, $3 million per year. And here's what he had to say about why he likes playing in Detroit.
I like the way we play. I think it fits me well. There's a lot of freedom, but also there's systems that are in place, we play good. We play good as a 5-man unit, and when everybody's on the same page, and that's the biggest thing. We can't really get to our own page because we're not a good team. Then when we play as a 5-man unit, we're really hard to beat and we're hard to play against.
Olli Maatta there, and talking about the team structure, the 5-man units, and the freedom to make plays. Ted noted in one of his Maatta stories last week, Maatta has 17 points already and is trending toward his best offensive season since he had 29 points in the second year of his back-to-back Stanley Cups in Pittsburgh. And Ted, what do you like about his game? And it's probably no coincidence, is it, that whoever he's paired with, that player tends to benefit from his steady play.
Mark, I've been impressed. I mean, I wasn't sure what to really expect from the guy. You heard some good and bad from his years in, Los Angeles and Chicago. But I think he's been a durable, good, stable defensive defenseman who has added a little bit more offensively to this season. I think a little bit more than they probably expected, and good for him. I think he's a good guy in the locker room. Fair contract. And he didn't seem like he wanted to leave. He enjoyed it here and is enjoying it here. So it's a good signing, good solid signing. Very shrewd signing last summer, and it's worked into a situation where you're gonna have a good veteran defenseman now for a couple more years.
And finally, let's hear from Wings coach Derek Lalonde talking about Philip Zadina, who returned to the lineup right when this winning streak started. Zadina scored the game-winning goal against the Flames back at LCA on February the 9th. That's now 3 points in six games, plus two, six shots. Here's what Lalonde had to say.
He's competing. He's trying hard. Yeah, we've been very happy with he. And I think he's managing his game like the rest of the guys, limiting turnovers. He's winning some battles, been involved with some offense. So some positives. I liked simple play, just him punching out on the point in the D-zone coverage, blocking a shot, chipping it out, setting up the next line. So good things like that, and he's definitely trying. So
there you have Lalonde, Ted, talking about Zadina, using words like competing, winning battles, making simple plays, chipping in offensively. What do you make of Zadina so far? He's not playing much, the fewest minutes of all the forwards, and he's done well, sometimes playing with Puce Suter. What about Zadina? And again, can you talk a little bit about perhaps the most significant game coming up Tuesday night, maybe with Zadina in the lineup, probably, against the Capitals, probably the most important game of the four-year rebuild. The Wings are still in the playoffs, only 3 points out of the wild card position.
Oh, Mark, they're very much in the playoff picture. I think they're in fantastic shape, actually. I think them and Buffalo, they're both sitting pretty right now. After they both, especially the Wings, have played so well here lately. Buffalo, I believe, is also on a 4-2 run or something. Everybody else around them is faltering. So they both have 4 or 5 games in hand. So I think the Red Wings are in very good shape right now. And give credit again, like we talked about just now, that win streak has done wonders for them. They have games in hand and they've earned points. They've beaten teams they're supposed to beat. And yeah, you're right. Tomorrow's, I wouldn't turn it the game of the century just yet, but it's a pretty important game for them, Mark. No question about it. If you beat Washington tomorrow night, you're sure as heck you're sitting pretty, because they're 4 or 5 games in hand on Washington. Mm-hmm. Washington's played about as much as anybody in the jumble of teams fighting for that wild card spot. So you're definitely going to dent Washington's chances, and you climb up to about 1 or 2, well, probably a couple points behind that last wild card spot. So yeah, I mean, there's some sort of little bit of pressure there, and it'll be interesting to see how these guys handle it, because let's face it, Mark, there's a lot of guys on this team who have not played an important game like this late in the season. So yeah, it'll be interesting to see how some of these people take on that sort of responsibility. And Zadina, yeah, he's been very in that time he's been on the ice, he's been noticeable. He's done a nice job. He's made some plays. Hasn't always resulted in the score sheet. I think he has a couple assists, but he's played well. I don't think you can. He's done what you could expect, I guess, out of him, having missed that much time playing in a limited role. But again, if Verana does come back in, I guess Zadina could be a potential guy who comes out, but I doubt it, because I think he's done enough to maybe warrant his stay, in the lineup a little bit longer.
And that'll do it for episode 85 of our Detroit News, Detroit Red Wings podcast. Thanks again for your time today, Ted, in Washington. You can find all of Ted's stories online at DetroitNews.com, as well as on our Octopulse Facebook page. Thanks again for listening, everyone. We'll be back for our next podcast right after the trade deadline.